We've been looking at Romans 12 about just how, you know, God's desire for us is you know, he left us here on the earth for a reason. You're here for a reason. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know Jesus, then God's put, the Bible teaches he's put his very life inside of you. And again, he did that for a reason. And we've been talking about how God desires for us to serve him. He left us here so that we could serve him and impact lives. And so we've been doing a few testimonies from different people that involve serving. You may have noticed, come on up here, Trent. You may have noticed this guy up here playing the trumpet. Wade's trumpet's been broken. So Trent's kind of stepped in and been helping with the music. He also assists Clayton with the teen ministry. And Trent is, how old are you, Trent? 28 years young. Did y'all hear that? 28 years young. And Trent has been a real blessing. I remember when he came to, you know, be a member of Crossroads, what a blessing he's been. And so I want him to just share a quick testimony with you before we dive into the message today. Isn't it great to have Trent up here? All right. Yeah, Trent. Thank you. Yeah, man. Go for it. Yeah. Just don't take my message when you pick up your paper. All right. All right.
Good morning, church family. My name is Trent Smith. I'm actually from Portland, Oregon, and I'm currently a student in grad school at Embry-Riddle. Go Eagles. I love it. So I started actually coming here in the summer of 2018 when my dad just happened to walk by. And my testimony is actually one of miracles and the goodness of God, the awesome healing power that fellowship in Christ brings, and moving to Daytona Beach in 2017 to start my undergraduate degree, I was pretty confused and troubled, dependent on the ways of this world, and I was trying to find this thing called happiness. But little did I know that my dad walking by Crossroads one day and being introduced to Clayton Proctor and Adam Levy and the wonderful love that is Crossroads, the church, the people of Crossroads. This place has been my solid rock, the tree of life, and I run to Jesus to worship him here. The beautiful thing about Crossroads is that Pastor Rob Hall is also on the staff. And so Pastor Hall, he announced back in March of 2021 that he was planning his departure from youth ministry, and Clayton was stepping up to become the pastor of youth ministry. And so after a decade of service to this church, he left the congregation with a challenge, which was to serve as Jesus did. And for the ones among us with a want to assist our next generation of humble giants, to come out to a Wednesday or a Sunday night to see God working through the message and mission of Crossroads to learn and live the Bible, love God, and love others through the youth ministry. So being blessed with this opportunity to become a positive influence on the minds of our young teens and meet them where they are in their walk with the Lord has not only given me a stronger conviction that God works through each and every one of us for his good, but that from one spark of God's loving kindness do young and humble servants of the Lord grow. It has been one of the greatest honors in my life to be trusted as a member of the Crossroads community to bring what little skill and ability I have to the throne and be welcomed as a member of the team and family. And I encourage those of you out there in the audience in those seats today to consider the ways that you can assist too and help the church grow and prosper with your unique talents or completely average abilities like me. They're really average because I broke my arm playing basketball here. Just a quick side note. But once again, it's been a privilege and an honor to worship with and serve this community, and I look forward to many more special memories and moments we will share together as a congregation and church family. Thank you so much.
Amen. That's good, Trent. That's good stuff. Thank you. Good stuff, man. Yeah, that's so good. I appreciate him being willing to. That's intimidating, you know, to get up in front of everyone and to share like that. But what a blessing that is. And, you know, God really desires that your life impact other people's lives for Christ. He wants you to be a part of somebody else's story, in them either coming to know Christ or just, you know, seeing Jesus do some great things in their life. You know, everybody who knows Christ has a story of how that happened. How many of you feel like, okay, I do know Jesus. I do know that I'm not perfect. You know, none of us are, but I do know Jesus Christ. Say amen if you know Jesus, huh?
Amen.
And you have a story. You have a story. So you have a story of how that happened. You have a story of people who were influential in your life and you coming to Jesus or seeing life change. You have a story. Well, God left you here on this earth so that you can have the opportunity and the privilege of being a part now of someone else's story. That's what Trent was just saying. It's, you know, it's a privilege he feels like for him to be able to be a part of some of these teenagers' story that they'll be telling for years to come. Trent's a part of that story. Why? Because he just stepped up and said, you know what? I'm willing to serve in youth ministry. I want to do this. And now he's having an impact on these young people's lives at such a crucial time in their life. See, one of the most powerful ways to influence others is by serving. You think about Jesus, okay? He was so influential, right? Jesus was the most influential person to ever live on the earth. And it's interesting that Jesus didn't come and live like royalty and have everybody serve him. Jesus came to serve. He had a servant's heart. He loved to serve. In fact, Jesus loved to serve so much that he gave his life on the cross. Yes, I understand that Christ is the most influential person who ever lived because he rose from the dead, never to die again. No one else has ever done that. I get that. But I want you to understand that had he not died on the cross, he could have never rose again. And the only reason he died, he didn't die as a martyr. He didn't die because he had to. He died because he gave his life as a servant. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so it was his servant's heart is why he gave himself. He died as a ransom for you and I. He gave his life for us so that we could live, so that we could be forgiven. And he came to serve. In fact, Jesus said, he said, you know what? I came not to be served. He said, I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom. And this text, Romans 12, is all about serving. And we learned last week, if you've got your handout and you want to jot this down, I hope that you remember this. The first point is reviewed there. And that is, the Bible teaches in Romans 12, 1 here that we've been saved to serve. If you look at Romans 12, 1, he says, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And then he goes on to talk about in verse 2 how that's the key to proving the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Some of you are in here and you're like, man, I want to do God's will for my life. Well, then you've got to be involved serving. He says it's your reasonable service. He says it's reasonable. And it's the Greek word logikos. Remember that last week? Act like y'all remember that. Pastor Dan, that was a great nugget last week. Yeah. Logikos is the Greek word in which we get the English word logical, logic. And he says it's your reasonable service of worship. It's logical that you would want to serve the one who rescued you from your sin. Aren't you thankful Jesus saved us? He saved us from a dead-end street. Amen, church? He saved us from a dead-end street. He said our eternity was going to be a train wreck, and now we've got this glorious future, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And so he says it's logical that as he served us, now we would want to serve him and give back. And then number two, we saw that God has encouraged us to serve. In verse 11, if you look down at verse number 11, remember that verse there last week? He said, do not be lazy in diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. He said, do not be lazy in diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Can I ask you a question? How many of you believe that it's possible to get lazy spiritually? Been there, done that. Listen, I've had periods of my life where I have gotten lazy spiritually. And I'm just being honest, I have. I've not been fervent, on fire for the Lord every day of my life. I've had days where I've been lazy spiritually. And that's why he encourages us and reminds us, really we should be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Fervent means we're red hot on fire. And what that means is nobody's got to beg you to do it. You're on go. You're ready. The other day, Denise asked my youngest son, Caleb, she's like, Caleb, do you want to preach to the kids on October 24th in the big group time? And without hesitation, he's like, yeah, I'll preach. And that's what I'm talking about, is that it's the idea of, you know, hey, I'm on go. I'm ready to do this. People don't have to beg you to do things that you're fervent about. Some of you are in here are fervent about a certain hobby or a sport, or you're fervent about camping, or you're fervent about golf, or you're fervent about basketball, yeah. His fervency has waned, amen. But, you know, you're fervent, about different things in your life, so nobody's got to beg you to do it. And then there's things in your life that you have to be reminded of because, you know, you're not fervent about it. You know, when it comes to, you know, projects around the house and it comes to keeping the car clean, Denise has to remind me often about those things because I'm not real fervent about doing projects around the house or keeping the car clean, right? Some of you in here, you are fervent about keeping your car clean, and therefore no one has to remind you. If you see a speck of sand, then you just clean it. Me, I'm okay with a little beach sand in my car. I feel like it looks lived in, you know. But see, what I'm saying is that nobody has to beg you to do things you're fervent about. And so what's really cool is this, is that God doesn't ask us to do something that he hasn't prepared us for. So God hasn't just told us to serve. He's fully equipped us to serve. You mentioned Embry-Riddle, you know, Trent, and that's what you're going to Riddle, right? So if Trent said to me, hey, Pastor Dan, we've got this little airplane and we'd like for you to take it up and fly it. Look, if Trent doesn't prepare me and equip me to do that, everyone on the plane, they will not live happily ever after. It's going to be a really, really, like, real, real bad ending if you were to let me take a plane up. I don't even like to ride in a plane as a passenger, let alone take one up and fly it. Aren't you thankful that when God asks us to do something, it isn't like taking a plane up, right, that you've never even had any lessons on how to fly? Aren't you thankful when God asks us to do something, he equips us to do it, amen? He equips us. He prepares us. And in your handout, that's the third thing, as I want you to see, is that every believer has been gifted to serve. You see, God likens the church to a human body. You have different members of your body with different functions, but they all have a function. You have eyes, you have a nose, you have ears, you have hands, you have feet. And when God made human bodies, he put every member of our body there for a reason and for a purpose. So I want you to look at verse 4, okay? Romans 12, verse 4. It says there, we're kind of working our way through this text. He says, for just as we have many parts in one body, and not all parts have the same function, right? So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and we're all parts one of another. So do you see the illustration he's giving? He's saying, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're part of his body. You're part of Christ's body. I'm part of Christ. So like Trent, he's saved. He knows Jesus. And so God took Trent and put him in the body of Christ. He's a member of that body. I'm a member of that body. Therefore, he said, we're members one of another because we're both members of the same body. Maybe I'm a foot, he's a hand, right? But we're members of the same body. We don't have the same function. We're not the same gifts, but we're members of the same body. He says, if you're saved, God has gifted you. You have a part in this body. It's like this. Jesus isn't here physically anymore. Jesus is in heaven. The Bible says that he is our head. In other words, we take our instructions from him, but then it says we're his body. In other words, he's not here on the earth anymore. If his work's going to get done, we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth that share the good news with people. We are his ears that listen to those who need help. We are the body of Christ. It's like the candy maze back here. We're doing the candy maze and opening it up to whoever wants to come on October 31st in the community. And that maze was built yesterday, and it was built in half a day by about 70 people that showed up, and they put the walls up, put the roofs on it, and now we've got the candy maze to be able to use. Jesus wasn't going to come down from heaven and build that maze. It took willing people that would say, hey, I'm part of Christ's body. I can be his hands. I can go out there and help build that. By the way, aren't we thankful for the people that came out and built that? Amen? It's awesome. They gave up a Saturday, half a Saturday. They gave up half a Saturday to come do that. That's awesome. See, and that's what I'm talking about, is that Jesus isn't here. We are his body, the Bible says. We're the ones that are his body. So when God puts you in the body, he expects you to function. That's the exact word he used there in verse 5. He wants you to function. You know what the opposite of function is? It's when you vegetate. To vegetate means to lead a passive experience without the exertion of body and mind. Now, there's a time to relax and vegetate. And Sundays, typically, I'm at some point on Sunday after I've preached three times, I'm going to vegetate at some point. You know, some point. Today's Connor's birthday, my four-year-old grandson. He's four today. So we're going to have a party after church. But at some point, usually on Sunday, I'm going to vegetate. I'm just going to lay on the couch and not exert my mind or my body. I'm just going to vegetate. But is it good to vegetate all the time? No. Do y'all know what muscle atrophy is? Muscle atrophy is when your muscles waste away. Do you know why your muscles do that? So don't use them. There's no physical activity. Like the old expression, use it or lose it. What happens if I don't use my legs? Well, not only will they quit functioning, but they'll become a major hindrance for the rest of my body. And it's the same way spiritually. God wants you to exert. That's what we're talking about, serving. He wants you to exert your body and your mind for him, because we don't want spiritual atrophy to set in. You're part of Christ's body, so God doesn't want you to vegetate. God wants you to function as a contributing member of the body. And here's what's cool. God has even gifted you to serve. Look at verse number 6 now. He says there in verse 6, we have diverse or different gifts. We all have different. By the way, who's the we? The we, if you look back at verse 5, it says we're all parts of one another. So the we is the all. So every single person that's saved in the body of Christ, he says we all have diverse gifts according to the grace that's given to us. And then he says if, and he begins to list 7 different spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives people. So he says that we all are in the body, and we all have diverse different gifts. So, in other words, I can't be you and envy your gifts. I have to be me. I have to be who God made me. You have to be who God made you. You can't say, oh, boy, I tell you what, look at Pastor Dan. Look at those gifts he's got. No, you can't worry about my gifts. You have to utilize your gifts. But we all have gifts. Clearly, that's what it says, and that's what it also says in 1 Corinthians 12. We all, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you gifts to be able to use to serve the Lord and to impact lives. Now, do you have talents you were born with? Probably. You know, I was talking in the early service. Some of you maybe are like Mike Rich, who kind of held it. He kind of headed that up out there, the candy maze. He's real good with his hands, and, you know, he's part of, he owns his own construction company. And Mike's really good with his hands. He's got that talent, that ability. Some of you were born with some talents. You know, Clayton, who is our middle son, a lot of the talents he uses musically, they're just kind of like natural talents. And then some of us have abilities that we've learned. Abilities that we've developed over the years. And of course, God wants you to use those also for his honor and glory. But here's the deal. There are spiritual gifts, which we're going to look at those, But there's these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us when we get saved. They're like birthday gifts. When you get saved and you're born into the family of God, He gives you some birthday gifts. And they are specifically for spiritual use within the body of Christ. Those gifts, though, He'll use them in conjunction with your natural abilities, with your talents you've developed through the years. He will use the spiritual gifts to enhance those and to work in conjunction with those. For example, if you're a gifted athlete and you've developed the ability to play a certain sport, God gave you spiritual gifts that you can use and take those spiritual gifts, and He'll take those and use those to so that you can take those natural abilities or those developed abilities and then use those for His honor and for His glory. Okay, I'll give you an example. Trent, you're playing the trumpet, but Brother Wade, I know his trumpet's kind of broke right now, and you've been up here playing. Wade Rowden, as many of you know, that's my daughter-in-law, Kendall, that's her dad, and Wade played professional baseball. That was an ability that he had and that he has. All right, so Wade has this ability to play baseball. But when he gets saved, the Holy Spirit gives him these gifts over here whereby he can now take that ability to play baseball and use it to impact lives for Jesus Christ, which he's done. He's had baseball camps. He's done missions trips that involve baseball where they've been able to give the gospel to all kinds of kids and teenagers through baseball. So now the Holy Spirit's taken these gifts, which we'll talk about in a minute what those gifts are, but then he takes those gifts and then uses them along with his abilities to be able to impact and influence lives. Your natural abilities can be used for you. And that's okay. And everyone in here probably is doing that, right? You have natural abilities you use for you. Some of you have developed abilities. Some of you have been born with abilities. And you can use those for you. And that's okay. You can use it to make money. You can use your abilities to earn a living. You can use your abilities to maybe have a good time, to help your kids. On and on and on we can go. But you have abilities that you can use for you. But then God gives you spiritual gifts so that you can use those abilities not just for you, but also for Him. And these gifts that He gives are all of God's grace, and that's why they're called gifts. It's nothing that we did to earn them. It's nothing that we did to deserve them, nothing that we did to work for them. God gave them as free gifts to you the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior so that you could serve Him effectively. And that's why verse 3, look back at verse number 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone among you," everyone, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sound judgment according to the measure of faith God has distributed to every man." So what he's basically saying there, can I summarize that? He's saying the gifts that you have, the gifts you have to serve the Lord, don't get the big head. That's what he's saying. Don't get the big head. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. These are gifts of His grace. The purpose of your gifts are to be a blessing to others. Your gifts will be a blessing to you, but really they're designed to be a blessing to other people. That's why He gave you these gifts. For example, okay, if I have the gift of preaching and teaching the Bible, all right, most of you in here, I hope, think that I have the gift to teach the Bible. Some of you are like, I'm not so sure about that. But hopefully I do. All right, so if I have the gift to preach and teach the Bible, and God gave me that gift, which, you know, two of the gifts, one is prophecy, which has to do with proclaiming God's word, and then the other one's teaching, which is being able to explain the Bible in a way that people can understand it. That's two of the gifts, just two, prophecy, teaching. And if God gave me those gifts when I got saved, and let's say that I end up, every week I write a message from the Bible. And then on Sunday morning, I wake up, and instead of going to church and giving you guys the message, I just stand in front of the mirror and I just preach it to myself. And I mean, I just stand in the mirror and I just let it rip and I preach and I teach and I even amen myself. I say something and go, amen! You know? And I'm just having a good time with just myself right there. Some of you are like, well, what good is that, Pastor Dan? Exactly. God gave you gifts to be a blessing to others. Once you're saved and you know the Lord, picture yourself as a member of God's team. God longs for you to be a contributing member of the team. It's like I said last week, there's nothing worse than feeling like, okay, I'm a member of the team, but I have no value, I have no importance to the team at all. Nobody wants to feel like they're just taking up space, like, you know, they're just totally irrelevant. And there's no reason for anybody to feel that way on God's team. You don't have to sit in the grandstands. You don't have to sit on the sidelines. You don't have to sit on the bench. You are gifted to serve. And there is a place for you on God's team. There's not just a place for Trent Smith over here, who you heard this morning. This morning in the early 8 o'clock service, a guy named Ron Wright, his former chief of police in South Daytona, Ron came up and gave a testimony about different areas where he's found to serve. And it isn't that God just gifted Trent or Ron or, you know, the people that talked last week that he gifted them to serve. No, if you know Jesus, he's gifted you to serve. There's a place for you on the team. And by the way, that's all this is about. When you guys came in this morning, you should have gotten a handout, and then you got this little thing that says opportunities to serve Christ at Crossroads. There's no pressure there. If you don't want to do any of that, that's great. All this is our ministry leaders just simply said, hey, here's some spots that are open on the team. So if anybody wants to play, we got some spots open on the team, and we could use some help. And so, you know, if any of that, whether it's, you know, working with children, or you like to be kind of like, you know, you're techie, you have media team or worship team, you play an instrument, whatever it is, first impressions, you're a people person. But what you're saying is, okay, God gave me gifts, and I want to be a contributing member of the team. And in your handout, it says the effectiveness of our church depends on the number of people who are involved serving. Can you imagine if me, one person, tried to do everything in the church? How much do y'all think would get done? I mean, can you imagine this morning if I had to play all these instruments and lead you guys in worship? You know, and then when I got up to teach this morning, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on, guys. Time out. I got to go start the video camera. I'll be right back. And then I come back, I'm like, oh man, I forgot to check on the children's ministry. I'll be right back. I got to go check on the kids' ministry. And then I come back in and I'm like, oh, wow, there's nobody here. Why? I forgot to unlock the doors. I got to go unlock the doors, you know? Man, everybody's in here doing this. Everybody's hot, sweating. Why? I forgot to turn the AC on. There's trash everywhere. Oh man, I didn't get around to pick all the trash up. See what I'm saying? Imagine if I was trying to do everything. Not much would get done. Amen, church? But when you get a lot of members of the team helping, that's how a church is effective. You know, one of the biggest problems in America is that because we're a wealthy nation, a lot of times what happens is in churches, and many pastors are to blame, so I'm not blaming people. Many times it's the pastors that are to blame. But a lot of times when there's a need in the church, the first reaction is, let's hire an outside professional to come in and meet the need. Well, what happens is inevitably a bunch of people end up sitting the bench while the paid staff are running around trying to do all this stuff. Well, you know what that sounds like, don't you? It sounds like what we're going to watch today, right? If some of you are going to watch football, that's exactly what you see on TV on Sundays when you watch football. is you see 22 guys on the field, just 22, 11 on each team, and you got 22 guys on a football field playing their heart out, knocking their heads together, while about 100 people are watching on the sidelines, and then about 60,000 people are in the grandstands yelling and screaming and second-guessing everything that happens, and, oh, man, how stupid! Meanwhile, they're up in the grandstands. Every team, I read this, every team, every football team can use a quarterback who never fumbles, never throws an interception, and never misses a wide receiver. The problem is there's no way to get him to lay his hot dog down and come out of the stands. And you see, that's not God's plan for the local church. God wants us to lay our hot dogs down, and he wants us to get on the field and start playing. You know, when did you get involved, Trent, working with the teens? How long ago has it been? It was just in April? Okay. So April, May, June, July, August, September, about 7 months. So what's it going to look like 7 months from now for you? Because I'm looking at a bunch of really gifted people in here. You've got natural abilities and talents and things, but that's here nor there if you do or don't, because the Holy Spirit gifted you when you got saved with gifts. And 7 months from now, that can be you. Say, you know what? I just stepped up and said, okay, I'll help. And now, wow, I'm loving it. You see, God gifts members of each local church, common, ordinary, everyday people. I want you guys to know I am a common, ordinary, everyday guy. I don't know what you think when you see me up here, but some of you, you know, see me outside of church. Wow, he is pretty common and ordinary, you know, because that's what I am. And, you know, I'm just a common guy. I'm just an ordinary, everyday guy. That's just like, okay, God, you've given me some gifts. I want to use them. God expects you to use those gifts, see, for the furtherance and the advancement of the cause of Christ, for Jesus. Jesus, he's your Savior, right? He's the supreme example of a servant. So what are your spiritual gifts, and are you using them for God? Some of you are here, and you're like, yeah, you know what? At one time I was. Well, what happened? Why aren't you using them now? You know, I mean, at one time, maybe you were fervent. You were on fire for Jesus, and you just wanted to be a blessing to others, and you wanted to use your gifts for the Lord. Okay, well, what about now? Where are you at now? Where are you at right now? You use it or lose it. You don't want spiritual atrophy to set in. And so you want to use what you have for Jesus. Are you saved? Are you a member of God's team? You know, do you know Jesus? Well, that means you're a member of his body. That means he wants you to function. That means you're you know, a hand or an eye or ear or nose or leg or foot. You know, you're part of the body, and he wants you to function. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you. You've been gifted to serve. What we're going to do is, in verses 7 and 8, he's going to list 7 gifts. Next week, I want to come back, and I want to kind of just give you a really brief description of each gift. And I'm hoping by the time we leave next Sunday, you will know specifically, okay, that's my gift. That's me right there. And then hopefully you'll find outlets to be able to use those gifts that God's given you to be a part of someone else's story and to be a blessing to others. Let's pray right now with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Let's just pray. And let's ask the Lord to use us.